Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday morning, last Thursday in the month of April. April 25th, 2024, 11 minutes past the hour, 37 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. A nice, cool, brisk morning, but sunny nonetheless. Do want to remind everybody again that the Stand By Your Veterans Banner Day will be May the 25th, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and June the 29th, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. This is where you go stand under the banner of the veteran whose sign you put up, or I guess you could stand under any sign, maybe somebody you know or something of that nature, but it's a very good thing, good cause, good thing to do. Stand By Your Veterans Banner Day, May 25th, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and June the 29th, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. All right. Well, we've got a lot of time to talk this hour because we're already back here at 11, 12 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know what? The more I think about this, the more I think that I really could be Pope. I really think that's the job. You know, if you're going to leave this, because it would be hard to leave this, because I like doing this, but if the position of Pope became available, well, there you go. You know, I think I'd handle that job very well. But, again, phone lines are open this morning, 740-751-4038. Now, there's a story here. It really has no rhyme or reason to anything we've been talking about, but it's Thursday morning, so why not do this story? Okay, now get ready. This is a true story from April the 22nd. Here we go. A family in Quebec is searching for answers after discovering that their father's remains didn't make it to Canada from Cuba, where he died while on vacation, and instead received the remains of another man. Now take that in. Okay, here's the story. Funerals for Fajar Al-Ajjar were scheduled for Sunday and Monday. Instead, his daughter Miriam Jar had been desperately calling and emailing as many officials as she can, trying to find his body. Up until now, we have no answers, she said. Where is my father? She said she was swimming with her 68-year-old father in the ocean near Cuba during a family vacation on March the 22nd when he suddenly had a heart attack and died. Because there were no medical facilities, his body was covered and left on the beach. Oh, no. Oh, I should read these things. Get ready. Because there were no medical facilities, his body was covered and left on a beach chair in the hot sun for more than 8 hours until a car arrived to take it to Havana, she said. After that, it's not clear what happened. She said she followed the directions given to her by the Canadian consulate and paid $10,000 Canadian, $7,300 U.S., to have the body returned home to the family. However, the casket that arrived late last week contained the body of a Russian man who was at least 20 years younger than her father. Unlike her father, the body also had a full head of hair and tattoos. Oh, no. She said the stranger's body has been sent to his country, but she and her family don't know where her father is. When she contacted Canada's authorities in Cuba, they blame the company in the island that coordinates the returns of the remains. Since then, She says she has been emailing other government officials, including her member of parliament, who has agreed to reach out to the foreign affairs minister, Jolly. I'm honestly destroyed, she said. Up until now, we have no answers. We're waiting. I don't know what to tell you. She described her father as an active man who didn't smoke or drink. The Syrian-born family man was always smiling, she said. The ordeal has left her mother exhausted, she said. She and her brother are struggling through their own grief while trying to get answers from authorities, who all seem to deny responsibilities. So far, the family has spent $25,000 Canadian, that's $18,248 U.S., including $15,000 Canadian, $10,950 U.S., for funeral services that have been put on hold. Global Affairs Canada said in an email that consular officials are working with Cuban authorities and the family to resolve this issue. But she doesn't feel she is getting the answers she needs and is hoping Jolly will personally intervene to pressure Cuban authorities. What I want is someone to help me find my father, she says. Oh, don't you hate when that happens? I don't even know what to say. There are several problems here. Okay, first of all, the poor man, the 68-year-old man, was swimming in Cuba. He has a heart attack. He dies. This is March 22nd. They took this man out of water. There are no medical facilities. I don't know who pronounced him dead. But they left him covered on a beach chair in the hot sun. Now, can you imagine sitting there with your father who has just died unexpectedly, and you put him on a beach chair in the hot sun, covered up, until a car arrives to take him to Havana? Then the casket shows up, and it's a man 20 years younger than your father who's covered with tattoos and has a full head of hair. Nobody knows where this... Nobody knows where her father is. Does anybody have any thoughts? 740-751-4038. You know, I don't mean to laugh at that, but, sometimes things just go on. You really don't understand. 740-751-4038. Well, there you go. Things could always be worse. You know, we were having that conversation the other day. Things could always be worse. Well, right there. I mean, holy mackerel. The man died unexpectedly, heart attack, right there in Cuba. Dumped him on a lawn chair. Waited 8 hours in the hot sun. I bet that wasn't pretty. With a sheet on him. Lost the body. Somebody, who's this guy who showed up for the funeral? Is anybody missing him? Can they track that down? Oh, what a mess. What a mess. What a story. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, you really gotta work hard to have a story like that, don't you? You just can't come up with that. You can't make that sort of thing up. Poor man, poor family, poor daughter. She seems terribly upset. Well, why wouldn't you be? I mean, holy mackerel. Nobody has anything to say about that, huh? I guess really, what more is there to say? Strange, strange story. In any event, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. 20 minutes past the hour on this Thursday morning. Last Thursday in the month of April. Okay. Just when you thought your life couldn't get any worse, something like that happens. Remember, we got a big day here at the station tomorrow. I kick off the morning at 8 a.m. Matt and I will be together, and then we have Jessica Hauser returning this week from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pastor Craig has his program from 11:15 until 12 p.m. Then we have the Exchange Club. Matt, Pastor Craig, and I all together. And then study his word with Pastor Craig from 1:15 until 2. Then tomorrow night we have Friday Night Live, the big program, 8:15 until 10 p.m. And then Matt does his show 10:15 until 11 tomorrow night. And I believe he's got a former pro wrestler on, Heidi Lee Morgan, who he met while we were at WrestleMania just a couple weeks ago. So that'll be a show worth hearing tomorrow on this station. All those shows are worth hearing. Fridays are a fun day. Again, phone lines are open. You know, I'm just waiting for that Wendy's to open on Main Street, and then I can get the big, big bacon classic triple with the large fry and the large Diet Coke and a chocolate Frosty. Well, if they have the strawberry Frosties back then, by that point, I'll go with that. But, you know, it's always good. You know, something I did want to do here, and again, phone lines remain open, 740-751-4038, anytime anybody wants to buzz in. We always like to put the orders in here early in the morning. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I don't want to switch back to other things here, but I want to mention that the suicide thing, if you don't mind me saying a few things about
that. Go right ahead.
When I was young, a teenager, this friend of mine, his dad was a railroader, but I didn't know nothing about railroad at that time, but I refer back after I've been one. But he always, the boy had a one of these Cushman scooters. That was a big thing when I was a teenager. Some of them could get a used one, or maybe their brother or something handed down. But anyhow, he was a squirrel hunter, and he was out in the woods one day, and his father and mother, he never come home, and he committed suicide.
Mm.
And he was squirrel hunting, and he put the rifle down between his legs. And the way they determined that, I guess the law enforcement and stuff, they figured that out. But he had a girlfriend, like I say, as a teenager, but I knew him, played with him and done stuff with him right down there in Oakland Heights all the time. But he pulled the trigger, and it went right up through his chin, and it killed him right into his head. Well, that's one suicide when I was a kid. Well, you know, after I got older and stuff, and it hasn't been too many years ago, on the railroad, there was two railroaders. I worked with them side by side in the engine cab. We talked, and we done this, and we done that, and I knew them, and which many people that I worked with on the railroad, lots of people. But there was two of them that were engineers. They were both a little bit ahead of me in seniority, two of them, that I was around all the time, laughed and talked, and both of them was outdoor guys and stuff like I was and stuff, and they both committed suicide. They shot themselves with a handgun, a .44 Magnum, and I heard that there was a bottle of whiskey sitting on the table out in their backyard or something like that. I couldn't believe it. Here's the point I'm getting at, and the third one I knew worked at Whirlpool, and I was friends of him, and he hung himself. And I heard about all that, the rope and all that stuff, and I was around him. But here's the point I was getting at. There's four events in my life that I've heard of. I never seen it, and I'm thank God that I didn't, because I have never seen a dead person in an accident and stuff, and I hope and pray that I never do, but that's tragedy. But can you imagine there's four is, and the point I'm getting at, all you never knew that they was ever troublesome, Scott. You never knew they was at an age that anything was really troublesome or anything to do that. But the point that you say, there they are, they committed suicide and killed themselves. And it's just like the thing with the electric company scandal thing there. I don't know if it's spur of the moment or what they do, but I've been told by a couple of, I mess around with a lot of older people in my life growing up and paid attention to a lot of things that they told me, and I guess that it was very knowledgeable to me, and I've lived with them, and they stick with you. But you know what? You could be working right beside somebody, and then all at once they're gone, and they committed suicide.
You know, and the thing about it is exactly what you just said. You never think that that's going to happen. You would never think that that's going through their mind. And that's what I always say, to get to that point to where you would do that, you must just be in an awful place, but I don't think people around you know. And that's what's so strange about this case with Randazzo from First Energy, or the Public Utilities Commission, is that he was wearing an ankle bracelet, and his family said they knew that he had been despondent the last couple of days, that he had not been in the right frame of mind. So I don't know. It's just a horrible thing all the way around that you get to that point where you think that's the only way, that's the best way to deal with the situation.
A lot of us have heard about suicides, but I've witnessed four of them in my life that I worked with them, played with them, and was around them, and it's just unbelievable. Why? I heard a couple things I never... they said, well, maybe they had cancer or something like that and didn't want to burden their family or something anymore. It took a whiskey bottle, their evidence, to get so drunk that they just didn't have, just all at once, it bingo, they done it, you know.
You know what the sad thing is about suicide? If you are, if it becomes a story, and we've had two fairly high-profile suicides here in Marion. Of course, the police chief committed suicide back in the 70s, right at his desk, and we all remember that. And you know, I've asked people about that over the years, and everybody has a different story as to why he did it. And I think that's sad, because that's just gossip, and nobody knows for sure why he did it. But everybody has a different story. And then... about 20 years ago now, we had the Harding homecoming queen who committed suicide. And when she committed suicide, that was a big story. And there were all kind of rumors about that. She did it for this reason. She did it for that reason. You don't ever really truly know. And when you're a high profile person like that, that people know in the community, then... people just gossip about it, and it's sad because you're not there to defend yourself anymore. And you think with those people, here you got the police chief, here you got the Harding homecoming queen, her whole life ahead of her. Why would they commit suicide? But something happened.
And I'll tell you another significant thing about my life of being an engineer on the railroad. It's unbelievable, and it never happened to me, but it happened to some that... they commit suicide on the railroad right up there on North Main Street where the tracks are, just a little bit east there. Number 8 pulling out of the station there on West Center Street. And when he cranks out and gets the signal there at AC, he pours it onto it, and they're off and running. They're running on a schedule, so they got a speed limit they run. And all at once, he's going up through there, whistling up through town there and stuff. And all at once, this woman was laying between the rails, and she raised her head up, and you know what that took place. And being an engineer on the railroad and stuff, you see that stuff. You see all the people that takes chances and going across the rail. You can't stop a train or another. There's no way you can stop it, and you couldn't. Boy, if I could avoid that, you can't avoid it. And if you kill somebody, and I always tell people, only takes about one. Minute and 40 seconds, the train's gone by. Now, I know in some slow areas it's different, but why take that chance? Don't ever take that chance, because it's only that short part of your life that can be sniffed away. But here's the thing about the railroad. I'm there 20 years, and every time you go across that crossing, you see those kids. I maybe told that their fingers are up on the window looking out at the train, and their dad and mother in the front, and the kids, three kids. And they just wiped the whole family, just killed them, all of them. But you got to keep going over that. That's your job. You keep going over that crossing. And you talk about people with memories and stuff and thinking about on the railroad. You see that, and you kill them. It's in your mind. You like, you killed them. But no, you got to think differently. You did not kill them. I was fortunate. 20 years, I hit a couple of cars, but just... nicked the rear end and the front end and spun them around and stuff, but thankfully they wasn't killed. But it's just bad to see that kind of stuff happen, you know. But like I say, going back to the and that was a woman taking her life. You don't hear too many women. It's mostly men, and I don't know what the stats would be on that now, but, yeah, she raised right up, and there was other instances railroaders told me about them. They just stand there and let the train hit them.
Yep.
So, we'll get to a little better thing, but, you know, the suicide thing comes up, and there's two in an incident in our daily news, enough in the scandal part, or so-called, I call it, but did they or didn't they have to do that? They didn't have to do that. They could have come out from underneath that somehow. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's what the problem is with suicide. I think in that moment, you think there's no alternative, but if you just waited a little bit, I think you'd realize it wasn't so bad.
Okay, Scott. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's the sad part with suicide is I think it's just a very, very, very bad moment. Or a very, very, very bad series of moments. And if you just gave it a little time, you would see that it would get better. Or at least your outlook on it would change a little bit. You know, our minds are very strong things. When you get into a dark place, it's hard to get out. And maybe that's why I ask people how they are all the time. We were just talking about that the other day. Asking people how they are and they say, I'm fine. But you can clearly see they're not fine. So, I don't know. It's one of those things. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, there's something. Does anybody have any thoughts on this whole thing, this story I read this morning about the body lost in Canada? I mean, it's not a funny story, and it's not a funny story to the family, certainly, whose father, we don't know where the body is. He died in Cuba. But it's one of those stories that there is a hint of humor to it, because how does that happen? It's not funny that the man died, and it's not funny that the family has to go through that, but it's funny that how in the world do you send the wrong body? How do you... You would think if you want to keep track of something or do something right, that would be something you'd want to do right. But maybe not. That's the way it goes. Again, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But there definitely is no doubt that people who commit suicide have to be at the lowest depth of misery in their life and just give it a couple days. There are plenty of suicide hotlines now to call and things of that nature where you can get help. And that will hopefully turn you around. All right. Now, I heard a quote yesterday. And I, you know, every so often I will hear a quote and I'll think, now that makes perfect sense. No matter how simple it is, that makes perfect sense. Now here's the quote. Get ready for it. Mediocre people are always at their best. Now think about that. Mediocre people are always at their best. Now, isn't that an interesting quote? Isn't that a telling quote? Because obviously we know mediocre people are just average. You know, maybe not even average. Maybe mediocre is below average in most cases. But a mediocre person is always at their best. Now, talented people are not always at their best. And very smart people are not always at their best. But mediocre people always are because they're mediocre. And when I heard this quote, there were actually a few people that sprang to their mind. Now, again, they probably don't think they're mediocre. But you know what? If you are always at your best, I guess this is what made me think about it. If you're always at your best and you're always happy and everything's always fine, then I guess you're mediocre because people aren't always fine. People aren't always at their best. So I think that's very interesting. I think that's a fascinating quote. mediocre people are always at their best. And I've always said it, if you're a creative person, you're going to have ups and downs. You know, Van Gogh cut his ear off. You know, people do strange things when they have very complex minds. But if you're mediocre, you're always at your best. And there are so many mediocre people in life that you run into, and everything is always good with those people. Everything is always fine. Everything is always just as it is. But that's probably because they're not operating on anything more than just being what they are. And I don't think mediocre people know that they're mediocre. You know, certainly nobody's going to describe themselves as being a mediocre person. I don't think that's a term anybody would use to describe themselves, because it's not the greatest term in the world. But you can see it. You know when somebody is not all that talented. You know when somebody isn't bringing a whole lot to the table. You know when somebody is just kind of coasting by. And you know what? It made me think, maybe it was just the way things happened. But yesterday, there was a moment yesterday where I don't think it was a mean thing to say, and I'm not even going to say what I was going to say, but I knew that if I said it, it would make the other person angry. I knew it would have been interpreted as bad. So I did not say it. I kept it to myself, and I did not say it. Because I knew there was no way to put it that was going to make that person understand that I was not saying it in a negative way. Even if I would have prefaced it and said, listen, I don't mean this in a negative way, but it still would have been taken negative. So I guess that puts me in the mind of this quote, is that mediocre people are always at their best because they don't want to be critiqued. They don't want criticism. They don't want constructive criticism. They don't want you to tell them anything. They want to tell you everything's fine and everything's good, and that's the way it is. So mediocre people are always at their best. Think about that as you go around in your daily life today or tomorrow. And just think about that quote. Talented people are not always at their best. You don't always hit a home run every time up at bat. But if you're mediocre, you're probably doing okay. But do you want to be mediocre? Herein lies the problem. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. 38 minutes past the hour here. 740-751-4038. If there's anything on your mind, give me a buzz. We would love to hear from you this morning. I think there's a lot of, you know what I like about this program is we're able to talk a lot about a lot of deep issues. You know, we can talk about quotes, and we can talk about things that are going on in people's life, and we can talk about things that are going on in Marion, and we can talk about sociological things and psychological things and so on and so forth. I think that's important. I think it's very interesting to have those conversations. And I'm glad we're able to have them here on a daily basis. And I'm glad people are able to hear them on a daily basis. I think this is all very important. So there you go. The quote today, today's quote, mediocre people are always at their best. And again, I thank Glenn Coble and Matt for coming in last night to do our taping. That was a lot of fun. Had not hung out with Glenn in a while. Also, do want to remind everybody, we've got the full slate of programming tomorrow beginning at 8:15 in the morning. You know, we were having the conversation again yesterday. Do people care? Or are people too sensitive? Do people take things a little too personally? I think we've all come to the conclusion that yes, they do. that people take things way too personally. That most of the time, people saying things are not trying to destroy your life. They're just making a point. Now, if you take that in a bad way, I think that says something more about you than the other person. I think maybe that says that you are a little too sensitive, or maybe that you understand the problem. Have you ever thought about that? When you say something that is critical, constructive criticism, when you say that to somebody and they get angry, don't you think that's coming from a place where maybe they see the problem too? And that's really what they're getting angry about. They might not even realize that. But the reason they're getting angry is because they know you're right. They don't like you saying it. They don't like you bringing it up. And maybe it's not your place to bring it up. I don't know. But they don't like you saying it because they know it's true. So you have to think about that. Because honestly, and this is the truth of the matter, if somebody says something negative about me, I if it's not true, or I don't believe it to be true, or I don't agree with the criticism, I just kind of roll it off the top of my head. I don't get angry about it. But when people get angry about it, I have to assume that there's some kind of nugget of truth in there. Or else, why are they getting angry about it? In any event, if you have anything to say about that, or our quote this morning, or this poor man, this poor Cuban man. Well, I guess he's not Cuban. I guess he was in Cuba when he died. And where is the body? We still don't know. Hopefully it shows up at some point. Give us a buzz here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. We always enjoy hearing from people out there in the listening audience. That's a big part of this show, and always has been a big part of this show. And as I've been saying as of late, I think Judy is still out there listening. I just don't think Judy is calling in anymore because she had a little bit of a contretemps with one of our other listeners, and I can understand that. But Judy, if you're out there, feel free to give us a call. We always enjoyed hearing from you. And the same can be said for our... Oh, we did hear from our friend yesterday in Idaho. Now, I was trying to think about the conversation I had with him. Now, I'm not sure if he's making a trip to Ohio in the recent times, like this week, next week, or if that's something for the future. I told him to bring some potatoes. I think that would be nice. Who else have we talked with recently? Well, I haven't heard from our friend in Pennsylvania in a while. I wonder if they're still out there listening. Now, one person, and, you know, I saw her daughter this morning, so I should have brought it up. But we have not heard from Sarah in a while, and I'm not really sure what happened to Sarah. I have not even seen Sarah anywhere recently. So if anybody's got any information on that, give us a buzz. It'd be interesting to know what became of her. A long-time listener and a long-time caller. 44 minutes past the hour here. I just got the sign again. High pollen in the area. Now, it's not like yesterday where it was very high pollen. Big red sign. Very high pollen in the area. Today, it's just high pollen. So I guess that's a little better for all you people who suffer with allergies. 740-751-4038. All right, let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
We need to put an all-points bulletin out for Sarah.
Yeah, you know, one day she just disappeared, and I have no idea what happened to her. Nobody seems to know.
I know it might be a conspiracy, but I'm wondering if they, you know, put some pressure on her because she was getting a little bit involved with some of the local political issues. So, I don't know. I mean, if that's not true, then then by all means, like, dispel it. But I'm just wondering.
Well, you know, that is the first thing that came to my mind, because Sarah had listened to this station. I mean, she goes way back and listened every single morning. And at first I thought, well, maybe she's on vacation. But it is interesting. The timing of it is awful strange. That when this whole thing came up about what was going on with the mayor and what was going on with the city buses, and obviously we knew that she worked for the city bus. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see her at some point, because I'm sure at some point our paths will cross and find out exactly what happened.
Yeah, and hopefully she'll put it out there, you know.
Well, you know, I think if it put your job in jeopardy, you probably wouldn't. And I don't know if anybody made a threat or not. I don't know. You know, she was not at the last city council meeting I was at. So I don't know.
I mean, how horrible is that? That you can't... I mean, if it's true, I'm not saying I don't know, we don't know, we're just speculating. But hypothetically, if that is the reason, how horrible is that?
Well, it would be horrible if that actually went down. Because what does that do? I mean, does that change anything?
No, it's just strong arm, intimidating tactics, you know. And it's just another reflection of how little freedom we actually have in this country anymore.
Yeah,
if it's true.
Yeah, well, and I hope it's not, but I don't know. It's just very, very strange that it was a very stark moment. And I can't imagine it was anything that we said on the air, because I don't think we've had any deep conversations that would cause that. So I don't know. I don't know. Very, very odd, for sure.
It is very odd.
Because it was just one day she was there, and one day she was gone. But again, you know, it was happening during all that issue with the mayor and the transit and so on and so forth. And as I have been told, either the mayor listens or he has somebody listening for him.
And she proclaimed that she was done sitting on the sidelines, that she was going to be outspoken and be involved. Remember that?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then silence. It's sad, man.
Well, this is the world we live in, I guess. I don't know what to say. Well, what do you make of our quote today? I think this quote just sums up everything. Mediocre people are always at their best.
Yeah. So just strive to be mediocre.
Well, I don't know if you want to be mediocre. I just think it says something. I don't think we ever really think about that a whole lot. I think we think that, you know... I don't know if we talk about mediocrity a lot in this life.
Well, because it surrounds us.
Well, most people are mediocre.
Most people are mediocre, and they have no desire. And again, that's a sad commentary because, you know, think about what everybody alive today is the culmination of countless generations that survived and excelled to the point where, you know, they had offspring and could, you know, pass on their genes. So you think, like, everybody alive today is of somebody who achieved. And, you know, and yet so many people are just content with the lowest common denominator and mediocrity and not trying to excel and be the best that they can be in their lives. It's sad to think about that, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it describes most of the people, and I think the social media world has certainly exposed this to a great deal, because again, if you're one of these people who are constantly taking pictures of yourself and you really have nothing to say ever, you're just, you might guise it in your kids and you might guise it in little things that you're doing. But if it's constant, if you're posting things almost every day and you're in the picture almost every day and you're not promoting something, to me, I think that's mediocre people are always at their best.
Yeah.
You're looking your best. You're putting your best foot forward there. But I think you're mediocre, and I feel bad for that. And And maybe this is partially, you know, not to get into my favorite subject of marriages and people's love life, but I think that that's a big part of it, too. When you put all your happiness in somebody else, and that's what you derive your happiness from, you know, I think that's mediocre. I think it's fine, but it's mediocre. What are you striving to do? What really are you doing here? I mean, it's not... Anybody can go trap somebody.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that's very... I think it's a very hard thing if you're around a mediocre person for a long period of time to understand them. How it's just okay to be mediocre.
Well, like we've been discussing the last couple of conversations, you know... It's not just mediocrity. It is just a constant degradation and lowering of standards. So then if you're saying mediocre, it's constantly dropping to where we're having people dropping deuces in the parking lot publicly.
Well, but aren't you, don't you believe that if you say something to somebody, constructive criticism or whatever it is, and they get angry, don't you believe that really the reason they're getting angry is because there is some truth in what you're saying?
Oh, exactly. Deep down, they probably know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, how could you really sit there and know exactly what to say to somebody to make them angry? Well, maybe the reason you know exactly what to say is because you know where their weaknesses are in life.
Right. No, that's 100%, you know, true. And people just make excuses for everything. And, you know, everybody has a victim complex or a victim mentality.
Well, and it's always your fault. If you bring it up, it's always your fault.
Yeah, it's always your fault. And nothing is their fault. So
No, it's too hard to say... Well, you know what? Maybe you're right. You know, I think that maybe I'm not doing my best. I don't know. All I know is I felt I was... I think I increased my chances to be Pope yesterday because I knew in my brain, I knew what I would say to this particular person. It ran through my brain. I knew exactly, but I knew how it would be interpreted. Because I know this person, I knew exactly how they were going to interpret it, I knew it would be bad, so I did not say it. And I just let it go. Even though I did not mean it in a negative way, I knew it would have been seen or heard as a negative comment. So I just didn't say it. But, you know, maybe I should have. Because that's what maybe people need to hear.
You self-censored.
I did because it's been a series of events with this person. Everything I say, they are taking negatively. And it's a weird thing because that's not normally been the case. But for like the last 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, everything I say is taken in a bad way. And I don't understand that. And so now I think, okay. That's what I would say, but I'm not going to say it because I know it's going to come off bad. But I believe even what I would have said yesterday, it goes back to being mediocre because they would have seen it negatively, even though that's not how it was meant.
Just let it out.
I should have said it to them.
You should have.
Then there's just an argument every day about how I'm evil and they're this, and then it's just a whole thing.
You're diabolical, Scott.
You know, it's so weird to me when you know somebody for a long period of time, and I've known this person for a pretty decent amount of time now and spent a lot of time around them. It's hard for me to believe that they could really believe that you're out to make them miserable or out to hurt their feelings. I mean, that blows my mind. There are people that I have known for so long who all of a sudden they think you're evil. Like you woke up one morning and, oh, I'm evil. You ever notice it's okay to say things about other people, but you can't say things about their people? It's funny and enjoyable when you're doing it about somebody else, but if it hits too close to home, then all of a sudden you're not such a nice person.
Well, that's more of a reflection on, I guess, your relationship with that person. You know, if you're truly friends and you're closely connected, then that person will be forgiving, understanding, appreciative. If you're not, and they take offense and they get all angry with you or whatever, then that's more of a reflection of the lack of, I guess, substance or quality in the relationship, I think. Your friends will always be there and truly support you. And who cares about your enemies?
Well, that's right, but it's interesting when a friend becomes an enemy just simply because you say something that, again, you have said many times before, but maybe about somebody else. But when it comes to somebody in their sphere and you say it about them, then they don't like it so much.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. I just let it fly and don't worry about it.
You know, I don't worry about it, but I tell you what, it shows you people's real character. And it shows you who is really authentic and who is really just, you know, as long as you are okay with me, I'm okay with you, is really what that shows you.
Well, it does.
Oh, you know what? Here's something interesting. Mary, who I had not, and apparently this is why I have not heard from her in a while. Mary would like to give a shout out to the doctors, nurses, and staff of Marion General Hospital. I spent the last week there and received excellent care. Marion is fortunate to have this facility in place. Well, Mary, my goodness, I had wondered. I hadn't gotten a message from Mary in a while, and I know she's a devoted listener. I hope whatever reason you were in the hospital for a week, it is okay. It sounds like it is, so I hope all's well, Mary.
Yeah, we all wish Mary a speedy recovery.
Yeah, a week in the hospital is not any fun, so I'm glad she got excellent care and is doing well. But, yeah, coming back to the point in our final 3 minutes here, I don't think you worry about these things, because if you worried, it's good talk show talk, but I think if you worried about them, you drive yourself nuts. But it is interesting how you can say things about other people, and that's okay. But when you come to them, then there's a problem.
Yeah, you know. But people need to not be so concerned about what other people think. And
well, that's true. You should, but you know, I'll tell you something funny. If you go back, and it's the great thing about taping everything we've ever done on this station, coming up on 10 years, is that if you go back 5, 10, however many years, I've been saying the same things about marriage and relationships for years. But in the last year, because some people feel it's directed toward them, now all of a sudden it's not okay. Now, isn't that interesting? Even though I've never said any names, I've never impugned anybody name-wise.
Well, the times change, like you said. You know, look at the whole Me Too movement. You know, now if you're dating somebody, you better get a notarized document before you have sexual relations with them, you know?
Well, I think all you need to do is get that big piece of chew going in your mouth, and I think that'll pretty well stop whatever's going on, because if that's there, I mean, honest to God, your standards have probably dropped below the equator.
That could be a deterrent, but
you know, that is going to live on with me for a long, long time, because I just don't know what that says. There's something about that. You got to be a pretty low-end type of person to you know what? It's not do it, because a lot of people do it. It's that you would think that that's a good picture to put up. This is my best. But it comes back to the quote, mediocre people are always at their best.
I'm telling you, new professional photo, you, bow tie, and a big old dip in your lip.
What else can you do? Voice of People with Linda Sims coming up next, 10 to 12, Adam 12 to 1. Hey, thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
Scott Spears heading for the
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers. You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell. With
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arm...